Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want to be down here. I want to see the whites of your eyes. How's everybody doing? Good. All right. Well, we are going to get into our study tonight. If you need one of our listening guides, a Bible study sheet, if you would raise your hand, somebody will bring one to you. Boy, this is a vast crowd in this big old setup here, isn't it? We're just swallowing up these chairs, but, well, I tell you what, it is one pretty afternoon, isn't it? I tell you what a great, and I love singing those songs, Robert. That through it all, that's where you live, isn't it? Learning to trust in Jesus, learning to trust in God. We're going to look at the book of Galatians tonight. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. General Electric Power Company. That's how I remember it. Now, I just want to have a little quiz, though, and I've been thinking about all my object lessons. Y'all with me? You know, my object lessons I've got on here, I've been thinking about them. And I've come to the conclusion that Mike Weldon and Matt Seitz were the best ones we've had. And I'm not that great at making object lessons. Who knows what book of the Bible the alarm clock's about? Anybody know? Malachi, that's exactly right. That was the one that Matt did. I think that's a great alarm clock, a great object lesson to remember. You better wake up. You better know that you better serve the Lord. And then how about what was the one for sweet and low? There you go, Leviticus. Now, what is sweet and low? It's a substitute. And Mike Weldon did a great job teaching us that the book of Leviticus is about the substitutionary atonement that the Lord has provided for his people. In the Old Testament, they would sacrifice an unblemished lamb. But guess what? In the New Testament, there's only one sacrifice for sins we need, because when Jesus was that lamb, that's the only sacrifice we ever needed, right? And so but sweet and low is a substitute. And that's a great object lesson. I'm envious of you guys with your object lessons. But let me go ahead and see if this will help you. If you can remember these, okay? What book of the Bible is the broken record? Boy, I tell you, I'm really hurting on this. You know what it is all, a lot of our children and our choirs are, maybe they're not here tuned in. They always give me all the answers. They're getting it, adults. Y'all better be working on this now. Now, what was the broken record? Judges. Because Judges is a book about the same thing happening over and over again. The Lord would deliver his people, and then they would rebel against him, and he'd send a prophet. He'd send, not a prophet necessarily, or a judge, and the judge would judge the people, and they would have victory, but then they'd go right back to it. Does it sound familiar? That's kind of the way we live, isn't it? Okay. All right. Who knows? Let's see here. How about the missionary map? There you go. The book of Acts. Very good. Now listen, there's one key book of the New Testament that's about all the riches we have in Christ. And the object lesson is a safe. That you have a safe. What is that book of the Bible? Do you know? Ephesians. Yes, Ephesians. All right. The book of Psalms is the hymn book, and it's about praise. Now, let me go back, and let's do one that that I never got to last time. Okay, I actually gave you the whole Bible study, and I didn't give you the object lesson. In the book of 2 Timothy, which was written by Paul, it's number 18 on your list there. Can you believe we've studied this many books of the Bible? 2 Timothy was written by Paul, his very last letter from Rome. The theme was a soldier of Jesus Christ, and we see that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Here's the object lesson, and it's just there for you, military orders. Because he was a soldier. He had been given military orders to be in the Lord's army. Junior Hill, do y'all remember Junior Hill that preached here? Junior Hill preaches a sermon in 2 Timothy, and he ends it by doing this. He goes, "Private Junior Hill reporting for duty, Lord." That's the way he ends that sermon. Because he's trying to say the Lord has signed it. We're signed up in the Lord's army if we serve the Lord. So anyway, I'm just excited about tonight us looking at the book of Galatians. Now, I want to tell you a story. In Texas, and of course it's not just in Texas, but I guess they have more of them in Texas, Dr. Johnson, than in a lot of other places. But they sell these big Western hats, like a big 10-gallon hat. I heard the story of a man who came in a pastor's office and he noticed this beautiful 10-gallon hat on the wall. And the pastor, he said, "Man, I really like that hat." Turns out the man that was visiting the pastor was a very successful businessman. He had plenty of money and things like that. And he said to the pastor, he said, "Man, I really like that hat." And the pastor said, "Well, you know, I've had that a while." He said, "It does look like it fits you real well and everything." He said, "You can have it." He said, "Oh, no." He said, "Oh, no." This man responded, oh, no. You know, I wouldn't want you to give it to me. No. He said, "I tell you what," he said, I'll buy it from you." And the pastor said, "No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that." He said, "I want you to have it." And the man that was the guest of the pastor said, "Oh, no, I couldn't take it from you. I wouldn't want you to give it to me. I want to buy it from you." And the pastor wouldn't let him buy it. There's something in us that wants to earn a gift. And particularly when you think about salvation, one of our temptations is not to receive it by faith alone, through Christ alone. Now, religion is the man on earth trying to do something to get God's attention to get into heaven. But Christianity is getting the God of heaven into the man on earth. It's totally different. The world is full of religion. It's full of us trying to do things to get God's attention. Because let's be honest, if we deserved it, if we deserved salvation, we could pat ourselves on the back. And we could say, look what I've done. I deserve salvation. We know salvation is by grace alone, through Christ alone. It is, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast or brag about it. The people of Galatia received, listen, here's the big picture. They received salvation by grace, but they were tempted to go back to the law. In other words, they said, "Oh yes, we like this gospel message, but we want to start doing some things, or we want to show that we have earned our way back into favor with God." And actually, it wasn't necessarily the people of Galatia that Paul was writing to, but there were teachers trying to get them to do that. There were actually Jews who were saying to the people, "If you're going to be saved, not only do you have to accept Jesus, but you have to become a Jew." Galatians was written to refute that. Now, if you look at our main points here, on Galatians number 19, book number 19, Galatians. The first blank there is no going back to the law. And the key verse, there's actually two of them there that I've pointed out. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says this. Galatians 2:16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." Now look, Malcolm, If I said, you know, if Malcolm, if you could say, man, I did something to earn my salvation. Well, you had a part in it. The truth is, the Bible says that our righteousness, all of our righteousness, all the righteousness added up in this room is like filthy rags in the sight of God. Can we all agree on something? We did not deserve salvation. There's not one thing about us that deserved it. That's what makes it so wonderful, is that we didn't deserve it. The grace of God gave it to us, and yet we see in this passage that there's not one thing we can do that gives us justification. It's only what Christ has done in us. So the idea is, don't go back to the law. Now in verse 20 of chapter 2, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. I love this verse. This is oftentimes one of the verses that our children memorize when they do their discipleship. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Anything good comes out of your life, anything good comes out of my life, it's because of the grace of God. And I love it that our children memorize that many times in their discipleship. By the way, for those of you that don't know, all of our children that are in our choir program and probably others if they got them, they have this special note-taking sheet. Now, I want you to know that our choir leadership will make it available for any of our adults that would like this, because it's very good, by the way. It gives a place for them to put their name, the scripture. Are we in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Today's sermon was about, and it has a blank there. Today I learned, it has application there. What was my favorite song? Well, tonight I would put Through It All for me. I love that. The message of that really spoke to my heart tonight. Did you give an offering today? I'm swallowing hard. We hadn't had the offering yet. Kelly, get up an offering, because I got a check box here. Did you give an offering today? And then, did we have any ordinances that we celebrated, baptism or the Lord's Supper? We had baptism this morning, but in tonight's service, we did not. Now, we are having the Lord's Supper next Sunday night. So, children, we can do that one next Sunday night, okay? Are there words I don't understand? Did anything special happen? You can fill that out, too, if there's something special that happened. But anyway, I just wanted y'all to know that, man, these kids are, they're learning about taking notes in church and following along. So that's good. No going back to the law. It's not by the works of the law. Now, 1, 2, and 3, there are just 3 points there. This is the outline of the book of Galatians. Chapters 1 and 2 is that Paul's message was under attack. They were saying to Paul, Paul, you've changed the message. You're supposed to become a Jew and then give your life to Christ, and then you can be saved. But Paul was just preaching the gospel to them. He was just telling them about Christ. He says, my message was not from man. All right, look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. See, they were saying, I don't know where this Paul got this message, this apostle Paul. I don't know where he got this message, but this is not the stuff you should be hearing. And he's saying, oh no, this is what I preach to you is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus revealed himself to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Next Sunday, a week from today in the morning, in our series, Can Jesus Use Me?, we're going to talk about Paul. Today was Peter. Don't be discouraged. Here's Paul's. You ready for this? Don't look back. I love that. Don't look back. Sometimes people let their past stop them from moving forward with the Lord, and the study next Sunday morning is God can use you, just don't look back. That's what Paul, and by the way, I'm going to give my whole sermon away if I keep going, but he said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth to the things that are in front, I press towards the mark at the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. And so that's the passages, some of the passages that we're going to look at. But Paul was saying, look, I did not get this I got it from a revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. He was telling them, you're trying to add Judaism to salvation? He said, let me tell you, I was a Jew. I was a Jew that excelled. He said, man, I was zealous for what I was living, verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. So they were questioning, see number one under our listening guide, Paul's message was under attack. He says, no, it was not from man. Let me tell you, I got this message from God, he says. It was confirmed by the apostles. Look at chapter 2. Now you know I'm just taking an airplane ride over this. There are so many great passages here, but we're just hitting some highlights. So in chapter 2, verse 7, he says, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel, let me back up here. He had gone to Jerusalem, and he was meeting with the other apostles. And he says, on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. We talked about Peter this morning. For he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas or Peter, and John. So who were the three most inner circle guys of the Lord Jesus Christ? Peter, James, and John. In verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, I quoted this morning, that Peter was known as a pillar in the church when he was used. When he perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. He was telling those in Galatia, I know you want to add the law. I know you want to earn it. You want to earn your salvation. You don't want it to just be by grace. He said, but let me tell you something. First of all, I did not get this message from man. I got it from a revelation of Jesus Christ. And secondly, I want you to know it was confirmed by the apostles. Hey, Peter, James, and John, these men that were with Jesus, they noticed that God had anointed me for the message to the Gentiles as Peter was anointed for the message to the Jews. They gave us the right hand of Christian fellowship. So all of you false teachers that are trying to teach you have to become a Jew before you get saved, he said, you're wrong. The apostles believed the way we believe. So the first two chapters were reaffirming Paul's message, all right? We're not going back to the law, okay? Number two, the third and the fourth chapters, the second division in the book of Galatians was this. This message was in the Old Testament as well. It's not just a New Testament idea that righteousness comes by faith. He's gonna make the point that the Holy Spirit comes by faith. Look at chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? Oh, by the way, go back to verse 1 of chapter 3. I like this. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? In other words, you receive the gospel by faith, and now you're going back to the law. O foolish Galatians. And then he says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And the answer, the obvious answer is by the hearing of faith. Verse 3, are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Just receive the hat. The guy wants to give you the hat. Just take the hat. Oh no, I couldn't do that. You know, I was raised different, man. I got to make my own way. Well, you better watch out. You may not get a hat. That's a nice hat. So he's saying you're bewitched, and he's making the point. Look at this in verses 6 through 12. Do you know that Abraham lived by faith in the Old Testament? See, we have this mentality that the Old Testament, people got saved by keeping the law. Do you know why they sacrificed a lamb on the altar? Because they couldn't keep the law. We're going to talk about what the law did here in just a second. But in verses 6 through 12, just as Abraham believed God. What? Believed? Hey, remember what the story, the book of John was about? It's about getting in the wheelbarrow. The guy, Blunden, the tightrope artist. Some of y'all that hadn't been here, you're going, what in the world is he talking about? Hey, that's in the Bible. No, I'm kidding, not really. But the point is, belief means, you know, you trust. And that word believe, it says there in the passage, verse 6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He didn't do anything at that point. Now, his belief resulted in doing something. That's where there's kind of a rub sometimes. We think, oh, I say, well, I just believe, you know, and it doesn't make any difference in our life. Well, it made a difference in Abraham's life, but it was belief. And the Bible says that he believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Verse 7, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. What? I thought sons of Abraham in the Old Testament were those that kept the law. No, God gave us the law. He gave laws to guide and direct our conduct, but the kicker was faith and believing in the Lord. Verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. With believing Abraham, all right? For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, if you can't live up to all the laws, you're cursed. You're never going to make it. Okay? Verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. That's a great phrase that gripped Luther. You want to know some powerful words? You want something to put on a 3x5 card and tape it to your mirror? You write down the phrase in verse 11, the just shall live by faith. Martin Luther, the Catholic theologian, wrestled with that statement right there, and he said, everything they're teaching me is that it's the things I do. It's the penitence that I give. It's the money that I give for those that are dead. It's all these rituals that are going to get me into heaven. But he looked as a theologian at those amazing loaded words, the just shall live by faith. And man, he couldn't get over it. Man, we were in Montreal, Canada one time. There's a big staircase going up to St. Joseph's Oratory, and you could walk on either sides to go up and view this beautiful building, but in the middle they had it roped off, and it was for people climbing it on their knees for the sins they'd committed. Somebody in a confessional had said, hey, I've done this, and they said, okay, if you'll get on your knees and go up these steps, then you will have your sins forgiven. And we unloaded a bunch of teenagers of that thing, and I had a video of a teenage girl talking to an older lady who was on her knees, and she got down on her knees and talked to this lady, and at the end of the video, the lady got up and just walked off. She had come to the conclusion, man, this isn't what it's really all about. This isn't what's going to get me forgiveness, is doing this kind of thing. And so The truth is, in the Old Testament, was not just carrying out the law, it was believing as well. And then verses 23 through 26, real quickly in chapter 3, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor. Now, some of y'all may have in your Bibles, anybody have a Bible that says the word schoolmaster? Anybody? Raise your hand, okay. Suzanne, what version is that? The King James Bible. Okay, awesome. I've got the New King James, and they've got a note here. It says tutor. Some may say, well, I'm not sure what the other ones say. But I remember schoolmaster from having that preached right there. And then tutor. In other words, the law is to bring us to Christ. You know what the law does? The law is a measurement by which you realize you don't measure up. It's the background that makes your life stand out. I can't tell that. I got too many stories. Okay, I got to go to the next one. Okay, I'm going to run out of time. But it was a good one, by the way. All right. So we see that's why we have the law. Verse 24, it was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. So that's why we have the law. Verse 25, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So, the message was an Old Testament message as well. In chapter 4, it's dealing with the fact that legalism does nothing to help faith. Look at chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those by which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? He's saying to them, look, legalism, trying to earn your way doesn't solve anything. It doesn't help your faith. Faith in Christ is the answer. It was in the Old Testament. It's what the Lord revealed to me when I preached it to you. So why are you going back? Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? So now, there's three divisions in Galatians. The first one is Paul's message is under attack. The second one, hey, this message was in the Old Testament. And then the third one will be done. Is this translates into everyday life, chapters 5 and 6. Hey, you know what? Because we have the Spirit of God, because we have been saved by grace, we are led, you can be led by the Holy Spirit. I abbreviated it, capital H, capital S. That's why there's such a small blank there. I'm running out of room on these documents, by the way. You can tell it. Man, I'm trimming everything down. Okay, chapter 5, verse 16 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You want to know how to gain victory? It's not by putting up a bunch of rules and trying to obey them. You know, rules create failure sometimes in the sense of trying to earn spirituality. But when we operate out of the power of the Holy Spirit, walk in the Spirit, he says, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here's what else we do when we let this translate into our everyday life. We're led by the Spirit, first of all, and then we bear fruit. In chapter 5, verse 22, we have that famous passage about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So we bear fruit. We also love others. In chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we are to love others. It says in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And then in chapter 6, we glory in the cross, verse 14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. When salvation is by grace alone, you have nothing else to boast about. You can't boast in your own goodness, your own abilities. You boast in the cross. And anything you do good, you do well, is because of what Christ has done. So Galatians, no U-turns. Now, there's a place up here on Newberry Road. When I come from my house, I come down Newberry Road and I turn left on Fort Clark Boulevard. There are times I forget things. Do you ever do that? You forget stuff. You forget your phone. You forget your Bible. You forget something you need. You forget the key to the church, whatever. So I'm coming down here. But you know what? There's a big sign at that light. It's the most aggravating sign. I'm going to get Walt Darty, instead of shooting an armadillo, I'm going to get him to come up and shoot that sign out for me. Because it says a big sign, it has a U, and it has the big knot thing around it. No U-turns. Craig, you know, you can't make a U-turn right there, brother. I don't want to see you doing it now. Craig's my neighbor. But the point is, no U-turn. Well, this is what these Galatians are doing. And can I tell you this? This is what God's saying to us. Church family, you received Jesus by grace. Don't make a U-turn and go back to the law. And that's what he was saying to the people that were trying to teach that. The pastor said to the man in the office, you can have the hat. Man said, oh no. Let me pay you for it. He said, I'll give you $100 for it, because those Stetson hats, man, they're expensive. The best ones, especially the ones in Texas. They used to tell me when I was at Fort Worth, everything's bigger and better in Texas. I don't believe it. I got an amen out of Brian Harris, Baylor grad. He had to get his word in there. So those things are expensive. And so he said, I'll write you a check for $100. The pastor said, no, man, I want you to have it. The pastor was being sweet to the man. I want you to have it, man. I have about 200. Finally, the pastor got the message, and the pastor said to the man, if you walk out of this office with that hat, it's going to be a gift. Now, the truth is, I don't really know how it came out. I hate to tell you, I don't really know. That's all I remember of the story. I don't know if the man took the hat or the man just walked off and didn't, but I know this. If you get Jesus, it's going to be a gift. And that's what Galatians is all about. No U-turns. You receive salvation by grace. You can't go back to the law, because you don't deserve it. You didn't deserve it before, and I didn't either. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.